Well, good day again. This is Pastor Denny with 15 in quarantine. It's May 1st, and it is a Friday. Just to get started out, and I'm not necessarily a funny guy, but, you know, April showers do bring May flowers, and I do see the tulips, or tulips, depending on what country you're from. They are poking out of the ground. Well, they've been poking out of the ground, but the flowers are now poking out. They're starting to expand. I can see the redness in them, and one's almost fully bloomed. So April showers do bring May flowers, but then I got to thinking, what do May flowers bring? Pilgrims. Ha ha ha. I know. I tried to find some cheesy joke for May 1st, but there it is. Buy us some time to let people get on. But again, we'll be here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll probably be slowing down how fast we glance through 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, but tonight we'll be looking at three verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, before we begin, I see people tuning in, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for another opportunity just to briefly look at your word, and we just ask for your blessing upon it, that you'll just continue to mold us and shape us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I will read just a few verses here, starting verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. But three verses tonight. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice evermore. In a world like today, it's hard to always have joy in your heart, always wake up and be happy. But God's word does tell us to rejoice evermore. Why does he say that? Well, first, what does rejoice mean? It just means to be full of cheer, to be truly glad, to be happy at all times, to be thriving in that happiness at all times. But it carries this other meaning with it as well. It's not just that. It's also this sense of calm in it. Like it provides a true peace. You ever are so happy that you can just sit back in a chair in a very quiet manner? Maybe you love sitting by a campfire. Maybe it's out in the front porch, whatever it might be. But you sit down and you just, wow, I'm satisfied. I'm happy. That type of calm where nothing else enters your mind. You're not like thinking about tomorrow. You're not thinking about what you didn't do or should have said or any of those other things. But that type of rejoicing where you have a sense of calm to you and you're just happy that you're in the Lord. So do you wake up every morning knowing who you are in the Lord, knowing that he lives inside of you? Now, do you give the day over to him? Start your day out by saying, he's on my side. I can be happy. I can rejoice in this day, for I'm his, and no one can take that from me. So start your day out by rejoicing, and then go into that prayer. Then give it all over to him. Smile ear to ear before you let anything else come into your thoughts, and you try to take it on. Instead, you look to the Lord first and give it to him, and let him worry about it. And then you can smile and have that sense of rejoicing evermore. Pray without ceasing. Obviously, that's saying, don't stop praying. It never, without ceasing means it doesn't cease. So imagine writing a paper and never using any punctuation. You take this long, deep breath and you never stop. Imagine if you had a breath that you never had to take another breath with. And you just kept on talking, never pausing, no nothing, no periods, no question marks, no nothing. You just kept going. So it's like that sense. You're going to pray without ceasing. It's the longest run-on sentence prayer ever. That's the way this is, what this is talking about. So praying is where, but it's also where so many people do go wrong. Why? Well, because God desires a relationship with us. So people don't have that in their head every day to say, well, in order for me to get to know anybody, in order for me to have a relationship with someone, in order for me to trust somebody, in order for me to love somebody, what do? You get to know them. You don't just randomly go to like Tokyo, one of the biggest cities in the world, go around and find a next person there and say, hey, you, I want to trust you and give out my whole life, pour out my whole life to you and give you everything. No, you're going to want to get to know somebody. Well, here's your answer. Pray without ceasing. Get to know the Lord each and every day. And people go wrong with that. They think he's some impersonal God or the elite or the spiritual people that are higher up above them spiritually are the only ones that can pray or pray for other people. No, you're in his presence each and every single day. It's one of the blessings of being in Christ today, that you literally stand in his grace. You stand in his presence, whether you like it or not. You're already there, like a father talking to his son. Whenever the one illustration that's used is, say a child has a president. Their father is the president of the United States. This child comes running in from outside in the lawn, runs into the White House, runs up, busts straight into his dad's office and gives his dad a hug, the president, and nobody thinks anything of it. But if we were to do that, anyone else that wasn't the family or supposed to be in the White House, they couldn't go running across the White House lawn and bust in through the door and bust into the office and give the president a hug. What would happen? Probably be tased or knocked down, handcuffed, something. But that's the kind of access we have, being fully identified into Christ, God the Father's Son. We are a son or a daughter. So you have that access, and we need to keep that in mind. That's why we're told to pray without ceasing. Develop your relationship. Talk to the Lord. So our prayer, our talk to him should be the biggest run-on sentence everywhere, no matter where you're at. But the other part of prayer I think people have trouble with is they say they cannot, or they think there is some special way or some how-to document they need to read when there really isn't. Just the same way you talk to a friend or a loved one, talk to the Lord the same way. As you grow and mature in him, yeah, maybe you'll approach him a little differently, things like that. But there is no set standard. Don't have to go to anyone else. Don't have to pray to anyone else to hopefully convince God to get your way or whatnot. You stand directly in his presence, and he desires to hear straight from you. Why does he want to hear from anyone else when he wants to hear from you? So anyhow, I just want to read something here from Romans chapter 8 on prayer. It says, the Spirit beareth witness. Verse 15 in Romans. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's like saying Father, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. You ever hear a little kid that when you yell to the parent, they'll say, Mommy, Mommy, or Daddy, Daddy. Why? Because that's the person that loves them, takes care of them. That's the person they run to feel safe and to confide in. We're the same way. That's how the Holy Spirit, whenever you choose to wake up to rejoice in the Lord, when you choose to pray without ceasing, and the next one we get to in a minute, when you choose to give thanks every day, the Holy Spirit will reveal that more and more in your life, that you truly can approach God, the creator of the universe, by simply, in a way, saying, Dad, Dad, here I am, and just start talking to him. So, one other verse about prayer here in Romans chapter 8. Likewise, in verse 26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Basically, in a nutshell, what that's saying is, when you approach the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry. We can truly pray without ceasing. We could be going down the road, forget to even address them or anything, and just say, oh, Lord, help me. I forgot about this person. I pray for them. And keep going. And you did. You just talked to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit takes that prayer, takes what he knows, because he can see your heart better than you can, and makes that perfect before the Lord. It conforms that prayer to the will of the Lord. And God answers it. So this is a wonderful thing. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is where so many go wrong. Why? Because God desires a relationship with us, and he wants you to know. He just wants to know how your day went. Talk to him. keep your relationship going, establish it, grow it. And the other part, again, like I said, is some people say, I cannot. They look for some mysterious way, or only the spiritual can pray or whatnot. So don't worry about it. There is nothing we have to do beforehand. There's no prerequisites before we can pray or any of that. You simply go to him because you're already in his presence. Just start talking to him. That's why we can pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's interesting whenever you hear, this is the will of God. And what a wonderful thing. When you hear the word of God say, walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and you know, then you'll be doing what's right in a way. Well, here, when you know, the will of God is to give thanks. Sometimes we may not feel like it. We might not want to be grateful. But we do have so much to be grateful for. That even if the worst did come, we die, we have the rest of eternity waiting for us. And that's enough to be thankful for. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Give thanks. Be grateful in everything. The good, the bad, etc. When you are thankful, it will help you stay in the will of God. And he is at work in you. And being in the will of God also reveals the Holy Spirit starts to work. He now has access to do what he wants to do in your life. So then he reveals more of his will, more of his love. When Paul prays those awesome prayers, like in Ephesians chapter 3, and I had this on my Facebook quote, and I'll get to that here in a second. But Paul prays this prayer. Part of it is to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God. And I think one of the three main things that you see a lot in Paul's epistles is this praying, is this rejoicing, is this giving thanks. Those three things together truly allow the Holy Spirit to witness with your spirit, to share even more of God's love and more of Christ's love for you and what he wants to do in your life, which even reinforces our relationship, that allows us to give more of ourselves over to him, and we get to experience him all the more. I just want to read this passage in Philippians chapter 4, which I think corresponds, like I said, Paul has these words together a lot in various ways, but this idea of rejoicing evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's a favorite chapter for everyone, Philippians chapter 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, meaning the Lord is right there beside you. He's ready. He's willing. The Holy Spirit's ready to do a work in your life if you let him. How do you do that? One, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Two, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So there again, you see the three things right there. We just saw in the First Thessalonians, rejoice, pray without ceasing. And part of praying without ceasing is giving everything over to him, no matter what it is. And then, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then what happens? The peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. At first, when we first start doing this and establishing new habits, good habits in our life, rejoicing evermore doesn't quite sound like a thing we can attain. Giving thanks in everything doesn't quite seem like something we can attain. And we can't do it on our own. That's why God's word says we walk by faith and not by sight. When we put our trust and our dependency in the Lord only, even in the times when we want to depend or trust in someone else or something else, who starts working in me? The Holy Spirit, because now you said, I believe God rather than me. I believe God rather than myself. I believe God rather than this circumstance. And the Holy Spirit immediately starts to work, revealing himself to your spirit, witnessing that, yes, you are a child. Yes, you do have a right to be in his presence each and every single day. Yes, I'm going to do something special in you start to see things. You start to see results. So anyhow, that peace of God does come then, if you're willing to step out in faith. And like I said, as you do it more and more, your relationship grows. What happens? He reveals more and more the love of Christ. the more and more days you wake up, rejoicing, being glad, being thankful for everything, praying more to Him because you know He's there. Just like a friend you establish a relationship with, same thing. You go to them more, you call them more, and confide in them more. Same thing will happen to the Lord. And besides, the world sees that there are truly even natural benefits of being thankful, rejoicing in things. There's definitely physical and mental benefits to that. You can actually improve your whole well-being, both physically and mentally. Help not getting sick as much and so many other things. Not being depressed, anxiety, all those things. But how much more is it when we put all those things in the Lord and let the one who truly satisfies truly take care of it once and for all? So I'll close with this. It's something I put on Facebook here. Because it's been something not only for my schooling that I'm doing, but just been on my mind for a lot of things we've been looking at. But where is your dependency? In a world that strives for independence, we can only be dependent. If you depend on yourself or someone else or thing in this world, you will never be satisfied. You will always be looking for more. Please depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul was told by the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So, if you want to live above any circumstance in your life and not under it, and that's a key there, and that's your choice. Where do you want to put your dependency? On the Lord who's above everything and the only independent being in the whole universe? Or do you choose to be under everything because you put your dependency on that person or that thing or even yourself who fails and who gives up or lets you down? Or so, if you want to live above any circumstance that you are in and not under it, place your whole dependency upon Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will reveal, as Paul says in Ephesians, the whole breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of Christ's love. And that's awesome, because the Holy Spirit will witness with your spirit the love of God, the mind of God, the heart of God, that you truly are protected by Him, you truly are secure in Him. He truly does care for you, and He produces it in your life. So then, being completely dependent upon the Lord, nothing else. People want to argue that, but you are. You're dependent. We are created to be dependent solely on the Lord. This whole world strives for independence. It's my way or the highway, but you're still being dependent. Someone makes you mad or angry or disappoints you. If it gets to you, what? You're dependent on that person, and you shouldn't be. You should be dependent on the Lord. So when things go wrong in this world, you can say, well, my Lord's in control. I give it to Him, and now you can rejoice, now you can be thankful, and you just got done giving it to Him. So imagine being satisfied, being dependent, and giving it all to the Lord. So that's where we're at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for some time in your word tonight, and just continue to bless the reading of your word, but also, Lord, as the Holy Spirit works, that we let Him free reign in our body to mold and change us and shape us more into your image. And Lord, more importantly, we do thank you that you do reveal yourself, and you reveal yourself all the more when we depend on you and nothing else. Thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Till next time, God bless, take care, and behave yourself.